This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you, Matt and Patrick. My God, Patrick, is there a beautiful sight to greet me here in my studio? You have found spam. I love spam. I'm sorry. I know. I love spam. I just do. Reminds me of going to fishing camp with my dad. Where did you find this?
I found it in one of the grocery stores in Grand Marais. It was in plentiful supply.
Well, if not for that restraining order, maybe I'd move to Grand Marais. Little did I know you can't do that to a boat. Wow. I am happy. You got me two cans of spam, man. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I really do appreciate that. We're guest free. Your calls are always welcome. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Just quickly on I want to mention, we had Sven Sundgaard on yesterday from bringmethenews.com, the weather guy over there. I hear you. We'll have him back. Okay. A lot of people saying how much they enjoyed Sven coming on the air. We'll have him back. He had mentioned yesterday that it looked like this, we're kind of getting this backdraft on this storm. It's 37 degrees out right now. Now, I'm no science whiz, but 37 is above 32, last I checked. It's raining. It's 37 degrees and raining on January 15th in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Wow. We should be 12, 15 degrees right now. And we should be kind of grateful it's 12 or 15 degrees. That's kind of the thing. It is a weird thing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it sounds like to the west of us, down to the southeast of us, down to the south of us, they all had a lot more of a storm. But still, Minneapolis, St. Paul, 37 degrees, raining on January 15th. That is what technically I think you would call not normal. So, and it should be moving off here, as a matter of fact. It should be one of those things where, it's a... I pulled up the weather forecast. You had done the weather forecast, but once again, they're saying drizzle and snow, likely before 1 a.m. I mean, it's really drizzle. I mean, it's nothing. There's not going to be any accumulations at all. I mean, it really is. And then some chance of snow this weekend, but nothing that major. And then we're back up in the 20s. Let's see, Tuesday we're at 18, 32 then on Wednesday. These are some weird temperatures. These are weird times to say the least. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Speaking of weird times, the NRA apparently has declared bankruptcy. Oh, no! I actually think they've declared bankruptcy now as Trump is leaving office in a desperate attempt because it's pretty clear that the Russians were funneling money to the Republican Party through the NRA. It's pretty clear that they were doing something of that nature. I mean, the Russians infiltrated the NRA like you'd never believe. And it's my belief the reason that the way that the Russians got the Republican Party, the mainstream Republicans who hated Trump initially on board is they'd say, "Welcome in here. We want to show you some documentation. Remember the money you got from the NRA? You should pay attention. See no receipt. Bad news for you. You are ours." I mean, they must have Lindsey Graham for billions. That's my guess. I'm just taking a shot in the dark on that. But I actually think that they are declaring bankruptcy now in an attempt to prevent an investigation into them by the Democrats at a later date here because I think they're pretty much they're going to have a hard time explaining a lot of their finances. They're going to have a hard time explaining a lot of their things. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I want to start by talking about the media's role and how we got to a point where terrorists were storming the Capitol. Because one of the things that's not been talked a lot about this week is how there has been a definitive role by the media in getting us to this point. And I've talked about this before in the old show. This is my first time talking about it in this time slot. I wanted to go over it again because I think it's important to understand you can't solve problems unless you understand how the problems originated. And a large part of it, don't get me wrong, there is definite frustration. I have talked to Come Hell or High Water, that movie with Chris Pine. I've talked about that movie and how if you want to, I think as a person who lives in Minneapolis in the city, sometimes you don't understand how frustrated people are in rural America after years of failing to get ahead. Now, mind you, you can easily point out to them, well, because you've had Republican representation for the last how many decades. But for them, they are willing to buy the lie that it's big government. Well, even though the Republicans are the big government a lot of time, they haven't delivered for these people. It's just they buy the promise of the Republicans, but they negate the help they get from the Democrats. That's just kind of how things have happened, and there you can understand there is some frustration. But to work frustrated Americans like clay into a pot takes being able to control message. And the media has to a point failed on two different avenues. And if you don't understand how the media has been able and the Republicans and especially the more extreme Republicans have been able to use the media and work the media over like a punching bag, let me go over it for you. Now, like I said, there's two different avenues. Let's start with the numbers issue. Today, this country, the population of this country is 325, 330 million people. When you look at a successful show on Fox News, they might get 2, maybe 3 million viewers in a day, which means less than 1% of the population is watching Fox News. And you'd say to yourself, okay, well, if that's all it is, why does it kind of drive the narrative? Why do you hear a lot about coming from Fox on this? Because the reality is that for the media, a million people is a ton. It used to be back in the 70s. I mean, the population back in the 70s was somewhere around 220 million, something like that, in about the mid-70s, 220 million people in the country. And you'd have like Happy Days or, you know, Charlie's Angels or something like that would be on. And they would get 40 million, 45 million viewers for some of these shows, which was, you know, getting to about a fifth of the country was stopping and watching a TV show. That doesn't happen anymore. We have been so segmented. I mean, just take a look at your cable lineup and how many people are individually watching any individual channel at any given time. And then you got the Netflix, and then you got the Netflix, the Netflix and the Zumba and that jazzercising, like I'm an 80-year-old man. But you got the Netflix, and you got the Amazon Prime and the Hulu and all these things. And, you know, these people are spread across. If you get 10 million, if you're like a primetime TV show and you get 10, 15 million, you're doing great, which is a far cry, a hollow shell of what used to be viewership. But as we become more segmented, the people that are out there that are getting, you know, a marginal volume of people watching get a lot of power. I mean, Rush Limbaugh. You know, I can't stand the guy. The guy's had success because, I mean, at one point I think he was at 15 million listeners, which for a radio show is unbelievable. I mean, that is an insane amount of people listening to you. That's as the biggest radio show in the country, hands down. 15 million people is less than 5% of the population. But still, over 95% of the population is not listening to the guy, but he is a wild success. You have to understand these numbers to understand where we're at. Because the reality is this contingent of the far-right extremists is not a majority. It is not 75 million people who voted for Trump who were angry. No. It maybe 10, 15 million people feel the same way as those people who stormed the Capitol. But once again, you are looking at a small percentage of the population. Back in, these people like to compare themselves to the Revolutionary War. Back in the Revolutionary War, a full third of this country was tired of the British, not 5%. You know, it's a very small minority of the population that is where they are at with Trump. But why do they get so much press? Well, because if you're OAN or if you're Newsmax or if you're Fox News, if you can just get 2 million of those 15 million people to watch you at any given time, you're going to have great ratings that night. You'll have phenomenal ratings. We had 3 million people watching us. That's phenomenal. And they put forward a narrative which is geared towards this small minority. Now, it's to tell the truth, it is better than it used to be, because for a long time, MSNBC and CNN were falling all over themselves to just try to mimic Fox and try to, and would run with the narratives that they were putting out there. And frankly, it's not a surprise that ever since MSNBC and CNN stopped doing that, all of a sudden their ratings are doing great. And as a matter of fact, I thought the last ratings week I saw, MSNBC was the number one station, CNN was a close second, and Fox News was actually trailing off. You know, OAN doesn't have any problem being OAN because if they can get 800,000 viewers, if they get 800,000 viewers, they're having an amazing week. It really, that's how it goes. And if you start running the numbers, you realize, wow, there is a very small percentage of the population that drives the news narrative. It does, absolutely. And that is how you get to a point where people are thinking, Trump was robbed, I'm storming the Capitol. If they have all they have, all they dine on for their news is narrative validation, which basically is a vicious circle repeating in on itself, you get to a point after 30 years, they're brainwashed. And these news networks are not about to stop. That's their bread and butter. They just have to make sure they convince everyone else, so for their advertisers, that you see, this is really a mainstream mindset. No, it's not. It absolutely is not. And it's like I said, it's not just news. It's regular television and music. My God, music. You used to have albums that would just sell insane amounts of million copies almost in a week. Now it's, if you can get 60, 70,000 in a week, you're feeling like you're probably going to be top 10 on the Billboard list. I mean, it's all things. As we become more segmented with our entertainment and our choices, a smaller and smaller percentage of the population drives the entire narrative. And when it comes to news, well, That's Fox News. Well, that was their bread and butter for years. They got 4 or 5 million for a while on their nightly newscast because they were the ones who were validating the opinion for that 10 to 15 million far right wing psychopaths that did not want to believe that Hillary Clinton would have been a decent president or Barack Obama wasn't a secret Muslim and all that stuff. That is how they did it. The other side of this, I'll tell you what. Let me take John Peters. John Peters is in Nisswa. He wanted to chime in as well. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, Matt. Doing great. Just wanted to mention you were talking about up north, and up here we do not have a radio station or just basically a radio station or a newspaper that has a even moderate point of view.
No, I know that. My God, it's how many times have I been in rural Minnesota in the last 4 years? I wake up in the morning, I get the local paper, and the local paper is all Democrats bad. You know, and you're like, oh, my God.
Well, I know. You know, basically when I was running for office, you know, I was called a baby killer and a communist and all kinds of bad things. Satan is backing me. But it's really strange. In fact, this morning I was talking to – he's actually a friend of mine, and he's a radio announcer. And he says, now, is it true that the vaccine is using dead babies to make the RNA?
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate, yeah, the you know, all my best, John. Take care up there. What he's talking about is an insane biasness that you find out in these rural communities. And it's funny because, I mean, I've talked about this before. When we would do Democrat of the Day during election cycles, I will call up Democrats in rural Minnesota and say, hey, this is friendly territory. I want to talk to you about your policies, what you want to do. Maybe we can drive some people to your website. Would you like to come on the air? And they're like, no, I don't want to come on your station because I don't want that help. I'm going to go on a station where 5 minutes before I'm on the air, they're going to call me Satan. And 5 minutes after I'm on the air, I'm going to call me Hitler. So I'm going to go there. Well, good luck. Good media strategy. No, this is. Yeah, and by the way, that narrative I was talking about, those numbers I'm talking about, look at the small towns. I mean, they know when the small town newspaper puts out the local county Republican Party's talking points in print form, they know they're saying goodbye to the left. They're just hoping, hey, well, make sure you Republicans, enough of you guys are buying the paper. At one point, these papers were vibrant. They were thriving in rural Minnesota. They're closing down left and right. And the reason why is that, well, not even the Republicans are buying the Republican talking points you guys print as headlines. Outside of, I mean, there are a few places. Timberjay's got a great newspaper up in Ely. And they basically don't pull any punches. There are a few out there, but there are not many. And the reason why is, once again, is they everything's about a smaller amount of number. I mean, they'll say, oh, yeah, 25 years ago, we had, when the population of the county was 70% of what it is today, we had four times as many viewers, we had four times as many subscribers. But today we're just printing right-wing talking points. And the first thing you want to ask them is, like, well, do you realize that most people who don't want to read right-wing talking points are not buying your paper? They like the attention they get. They get welcomed into the Republican, dinners and might get some of those luxury box seats for a sporting event sometime. That's why there's a narrative that's being driven in a lot of these small town newspapers. That's because that's the bait's on the hook at this point. They're so desperate to survive, they'll do anything they can. And if they feel as if by basically just becoming a podium for a right-wing talking, well, that's the case. Same thing with small-town radio. I mean, it's what you've got is it's a small percentage. But if you control that percentage, guess what? It sounds like it's a massive amount of the community, and it's not. It really is not. Don't get me wrong. There are places where definitely Republicans outnumber Democrats. But unless you're in Wyoming or Idaho, it's not like it's 80-20. Most places are maybe 60-40, 55-45, but yet the way that it's presented is, well, the only narrative, the only thing you get is from the right wing, 952-946-6205. When I come back, I want to talk about the second problem with media. So it's numbers, the fact that you've got people that are driving everything towards a very small niche because that small niche gets them big numbers and gets them advertisers. That's part of the problem, but as well, there's another issue that goes with the rest of the media, which has to be called out. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. See, the Fairness Doctrine was a bit of a double-edged sword. On one side, it allowed Republicans to replace quality with ideology overnight in media. that you didn't have to have, you used to have a time where you have the right-leaning sports guy and the left-leaning gardener back-to-back on a radio station. Then it just became right-wing guy, right-wing guy, right-wing guy, right-wing guy. Well, and the downside was, well, you're going to tell a lot of people I don't want you listening, and that's where we're at today. Now it's the desperation for people to get more and more viewers is there, and what used to be a pittance of a viewership is now considered to be, wow, they're doing great. But you got to remember, they can get those numbers by only appealing to a very small percentage of the population. The other side of the media problem is, and I've talked about this as well at length, and that is that the media allowed idiots with an agenda to ruin debate. Yesterday, Susan Kent was on the air, and we talked about how lies are not a counterpoint in a political discussion. Lies are the opposite of truth. You can't just put a lie out there and say, we agree to disagree. You're lying. You can't say, well, that big bright thing in the sun, the sky is called the sun. And you say, no, it's not. It's a giant marshmallow. And so we'll have to agree to disagree. Well, no, you're an idiot. You're a psychopath. Back in the where this started was with the cigarettes, with the smoking and cancer. And everyone knew smoking caused cancer. Everyone knew it. But the smoking companies didn't, and what did they do? They went out and they paid for research that said smoking is great. Smoking doesn't cause any cancer at all. Smoking is healthy. Smoking is a quality of life issue. And then they basically forced these networks and said, hey, if you don't put us on there to allow us to argue our points, well, then we'll call you bias. And these news networks who were spineless said, okay, I guess we'll let you on in here. And it started with smoking, then it went to climate change. And my God, we are at the point now where even still today, how many news outlets will allow? And once again, the news outlet does not have to let anyone on the air who is lying. They don't. They can say, what are you going to talk about? Well, I'm going to talk about how Trump was robbed by Dominion. No, that's a lie. We're not going to let you on the air because none of that is factually accurate. Do you have anything that's factually accurate? No. Okay, I'm sorry. We're not going to have you on the air. They could do that. They don't. Instead, they welcome person after person after person on the air to spout a lie under the argument of, well, both sides. No, it's not both sides. That's a lie. A political debate used to be, I believe that the federal government should spend more of its money to help its people. I believe the federal government should give PAC most of its, the people its money and let them decide how they want to spend it. But neither one of those is a lie. Those are theories, and you put it out there. But when you got people that had to push a lie to survive, the news media went along with it. And in nothing has made me more angry with the news media of this country than watching journalists, people who supposedly have integrity, people that don't even like to come on this show because, oh, Matt, you're a liberal host. I don't want my journalistic integrity to be questioned because of the fact that I just went and talked about a news story on your show. Instead, but they have no problem. They have a problem with that, but they have no problem in saying, so tell me more about this lie that you're just making up and pulling out of your ass and using this as an effective counterpoint. Don't give them the pass. Media has the ability to put on the air whoever they want to. Lying or not, and if they bring liars on, and they consistently bring liars on, and they constantly bring liars on, well, whose problem is that then? You bring in Rick Santorum on CNN. Why? He's going to lie. He's not going, at the end of the day, he has to lie because his entire point is made up a fantasy. You don't get to the point we're at where you have these people out there without the, on one side, entire news networks geared towards a fringe element of our society as well as also legitimate news networks giving incompetent, lying morons equal time arguments with people that shouldn't even have to sit in the same room with them. The combination of those, the combination of lack of quality information gets you to a point where you have people who basically believe what they want to believe. They basically believe what they want to believe. And I don't know how you solve this problem. I mean, I think that there are laws in this country that you cannot describe yourself as a news network and constantly lie. And even Fox News, when they had the whole thing where they talked about there was no-go zones in Paris, and France actually has laws that say you can outlaw a news outlet if they lie, and they very quickly said, we never said that there were. This was a lie said by this one guest, and we're never having him on the air. France is great. You know, that was their entire thing. You know, you can't just advertise yourself as a news network and not ever produce news. So, I mean, I don't know if you make people, you know, air, okay, this is not a news segment, this is an opinion segment. I don't know. I'm not for stopping freedom of speech. So OAN, Newsmax, they want to be on the air, they should be on the air. But they should have to express to them that this is not, there is stuff that we are saying that is probably not backed up by facts and reality. And I don't know how you do that. I know one thing you should do. The media, if you're a journalist with integrity, ask yourself, do I really need to be interviewing the guy who's lying just to basically create a counterpoint? No, you don't. Just because the other side doesn't have a rebuttal doesn't mean you don't write the story. Write the damn story and just say, and the other side is still lying about losing. So, done. Lynette is in Chaska. Let's get her on here before the break. Welcome on in, Lynette.
Yeah, hi, Matt. I'm a child of the 70s, and I miss when we had Walter Cronkite, and you could trust Walter, and he didn't go on the air without something that wasn't absolutely true because he wasn't allowed to, even if he wanted to. And you remember the Mary Tyler Moore Show, one of my favorite episodes that really brings this to light, and this is from the early 70s, is called The Good Time News. And basically they get a new program director, and he comes in, and so he tells the station that we're going to make the news, you know, more fun, and we can't make any money with the news the way it is. And so Lou Grant, you know, Mary's boss, he's like, but it's news. You can't mess with the news. It's news. But they're like, the guy that he hired to show the monetary, I can't think of the word, the economics of the station, he said, but we can't make money with the news. And this is what we want to do. And so the whole episode was just about that, and that's what it's become. And then Ted Baxter, the buffoon, we all knew he was a buffoon at the time because we knew that news was truth, or it should be. And then now he'd be like a star on Fox News.
Really. Lou, oh, Lou, let me on the air. Let me take over Tucker's spot, Lou.
Yeah, he'd be a complete star now.
He would be. Well, and Lynette, I mean, thank you very much. You bring up the 70s network, the TV show. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. The guy saying that the people were talking about the accounting department taking over the news department. And that did happen. And that war has long been fought. They won. But the reality is that you used to have, you know, news used to be news. And part of the problem is just the structure of it. A 24-hour news network, they have to create programming. They can't just do headline news like they used to do and be done with it. They have to create conflict. But, you know, it was crossfire. A lot of it was crossfire when they started that show. Because, I mean, let's face it, half the time those people were lying. And they were just, you know, yelling at each other just to yell at each other. Something that even The Daily Show used to mock with Even Steven. Was just, you know, just yelling at people just to yell at people. Well, this is where we're at. And congratulations. You know, you reaped what you sowed. And you have an incredibly large portion of the population who is completely and totally ambivalent of the news and only has their opinion validated. I mean, there's also parts of it where it's like, you know, there are people in this country that all they do is they spend their time on video games and in the video game culture or EDM or on TikTok. You know, there are some people that spend all their time just listening to classical music. When they're done with work, they go home and they just listen to classical music, and God bless them. But the reality is that when you have a fringe element of this country being pandered to constantly as you're right and everyone else is wrong, and you have the legitimate news sources welcoming on fantasy instead of facts, well, reap what you sow. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When I come back, Unicorn Riot's actually done an interesting article here on Minnesotans who are in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about that. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. Unicorn Riot, which came to light really in the Twin Cities with the George Floyd protests, they have been keeping a track on some of the news. And they've got a story here of the Minnesotans who went and were in D.C. for the rallies and the riots. Now, I'm not sure. We're going to read through this here. I know some people who are there were only there for the rally, but there are also other people there. Which they very clearly posted on their own social media pages their crime. So yeah, we'll have to see. You know, I'll read through this article here and let you hear. January 8th, Twitter account Minnesota United AF against fascism posted a list of some of the known Minnesotans who were verified to have been participating in the D.C. events on January 6th. They listed the following names: Chad Raftal, Jason Hakala, Douglas Eichmann, Jonathan Land, Janice Evans, also known as Victoria White, Molly Wetzel, Lartvita Farquhar, Steve Lahr, Emily Hartigan, and Darren Slater. Along with those 10 named by Minnesota United AF, others verified additional names: Melody Black, James Bono, Paul Bergley, Joe Bell, Alistair Vusen, David Hammond, and Jonathan Land's brother, Doyle. This is Doyle Land Jr. The majority of those listed have been present at most of the weekly Hold the Line protests in St. Paul. Many were seen at the Back the Blue protests throughout the summer of 2020 and reopened protests in April of 2020. Chad Raftal, a tall, red-bearded Trump supporter from southern Minnesota, went to D.C. and posted his experiences on social media. Raftal was interviewed by WCCO-CBS about his trip. And after the interview aired, he posted a video to Twitter with expressing his frustration with the haters that have questioned the interview. He called anti-fascist scum of the earth and ended his January 8th video message by saying, "Stand up, patriots. It's time. Merke." Raftal streamed his Facebook blog titled Patriot Adventures with Redbeard and His Crazy Wife while traveling to D.C. and while at the Capitol building. He continues to post on multiple Twitter accounts with his latest video stating he's starting a podcast and website. Well, the prison will allow that. I have no idea what is going to happen there. In the weeks before going to D.C., Raftal was a consistent attendee of the Stop the Steal and Hold the Line protests. After violence from the right-wing crowd towards the counter-protesters in late November, hundreds of anti-fascists started showing up to oppose Hold the Line. Raftal was one of the front lines of some of those scuffles and happened during the subsequent Saturdays. He also started a post sensitive personal information online of people who showed up to counter-protest. While at the Capitol in D.C. on January 6th, he said he didn't enter the building and that he left after being pepper sprayed by police near an entrance. On January 12th, the company that Raftal worked for announced he is no longer an employee. And by the way, just because you didn't get into the building doesn't mean you weren't trespassing. Just going to let you know. Hold the Line MN was founded by three women: Becky Stromer, Justin, and Emily Hartigan Stein. At least one of the trio, Emily Hartigan Stein, traveled to D.C. for the January 6th action. Hartigan Stein claims to be a Marine veteran from Shoreview. She's the president of Born to Ride for 45 MN, vice president of Bikers for 45, and former director of the operations for right-wing Senate candidate Jason Lewis. Really? Hardigan Stein, an avid Trump supporter, had traveled across the Midwest to attend Trump events over the last few years and was organized Black the Blue protests in St. Paul and surrounding suburbs. Hardigan Stein made an online petition in April 2020 calling for the state to lift coronavirus safety measures, saying the people of the great state of Minnesota will not sit idly by any longer. Her petition thus far has gained 29 total signatures. 29. Melanie Black, another frequent attendee of the right-wing Black Back the Blue to hold the line and reopen protests, also traveled to D.C., was kicked off her Delta flight home after boarding. She told another passenger, her name was Melody Marie Black, and that she was kicked off for freedom of speech. She's also recorded attempting to console another man who was screaming about being kicked off his flight at the gate of an airport. Black from Red Wing, Minnesota, said, "This is America, and we're here to fight for our freedom," while being interviewed on January 6th. The day after the attempted Capitol siege, Black was photographed at a memorial for Ashley Babbitt. Excuse me, the traitor and anti-American Ashley Babbitt, the military veteran and traitor and anti-American QAnon supporter who was killed by Capitol Police. Over the last few years, Black has been interviewed numerous times and received media coverage for her right-wing activism. She was very active in 2020 and at one July Back the Blue event in Bloomington while finishing an enthusiastic diatribe directed at Unicorn Riot reporters. She stated, "This is America, land of the free. You don't own America. All lives matter. Blue lives matter." Well, apparently you guys don't think blue lives matter that much, because I'm going to let you know what happened out there. Jason Hakala, a 46-year-old avid Trump supporter in Bloomington, Minnesota, made a trip to D.C. on January 6th. Hakala, a proud boy and 3%er, spent the summer of 2020 knocking on doors for the Trump campaign. Hakala, with a past experience in law enforcement and security, received accolades from Eagan's police chief in 2011 for chasing teenagers away from his mom's house. He has been a frequent attendee of right-wing Hold the Line, Stop the Steal gatherings, has made numerous trips to D.C. since the election. Hakala has consistently made militant right-wing social media posting over the last 2 months. One of Hakala's first posts on Telegram channel used by Minnesota Proud Boys, called the Northside Uhuru, was a picture of Hold the Line organizers posing with Proud Boys and throwing up the White Power gang sign in front of the governor's residence in St. Paul. On December 1st, Hakala replied with two laugh emojis and an OK sign emoji to a racist meme picture of George Floyd in front of a Christmas tree holding a bottle of fentanyl. Hakala is often fixated on threatening anti-fascists on social media. Darren Slater, a pro-Trump Christian vlogger and founder of a recently created Yahoo's Patriots, also traveled from Minnesota to D.C. for the January 6th violence, where he live-streamed numerous times from the Capitol. During one of the live streams, another Minnesotan, James Bono, can be seen. It's still unclear if Slater and Bono entered the Capitol building. Slater has been a consistent figure on Hold the Line and Stop the Steal events in St. Paul, and traveled to D.C. in December as well. Slater posted a video online in January 11th saying Democrats are a terrorist organization, and that the Capitol Police deserve to get injured and killed because they were hurling grenades and macing patriots. So much for that Blue Lives Matter end, right? Slater and others frequent the Alibi Bar in Lakeville. Whoa! Hey, there's a throwback. The Alibi Bar in Lakeville, known for its defiance of pandemic safety restrictions as a hangout for right-wing extremists. Alibi's co-owner, Ricardo Baldazzo, who did a Yosemite Sam when he jumped out a window, he's being held on two counts of first-degree attempted murder and first-degree assault for a September incident where he ended an armed police standoff without Baldazzo incurring injuries. Baldazzo is on a bail and his bar continues to be open. A recent picture posted to social media shows Slater with Jason Hukala, as well as Adam Drake from Shakopee, Minnesota, on there. Drake is a Minnesota operative of Operation Werewolf, a branch of the white supremacist crypto-fascist Wolves of Vinland. Drake's social media features quotes by Wolves of Vinland co-founder Paul Wagner, an Italian occultist and anti-Semite, Julius Evola. These posts have become increasingly violent, their words and imagery. And December 24th, 2020, Christmas Eve, faced a post by Drake, has an image symbolizing the murder of anti-fascists, a masked man shooting two hostages in the back of the head as four bodies hang from nooses in the gallows of an anti-fascist flag burns. Merry Christmas! Drake's last words, January 5th post, read, "Time for the war is upon us. We have no evidence of Drake making the trip to D.C., yet it is clear that the relationship between hardened white supremacists seeking war like Operation Werewolf and the increasingly extremist participants of Hold the Line is a possible threat to communities across the Twin Cities and beyond. Once again, this is a Unicorn Riot story identifying the people who were there. Larvita McFarquhar, M-C-F-A-R-Q-U-H-A-R, owner of Haven's Garden Restaurant in Lynn, Minnesota, who also faced fines for keeping his restaurant open. That's interesting. It seems there's our second restaurant that was staying open because Governor Wells is a tyrant who seems to be involved in this in some capacity. Larvita took the trip to D.C. with a crew of her friends, Janice Evans, also known as Victoria White, Molly Wetzel, and Steve Lahr. On their trip, they stopped in Gettysburg to live stream about how they weren't allowed to into five different bathrooms for refusing to wear a mask. Janice Evans slash Victoria White, who traveled with McFarquhar, claims to have been taken to have taken down a Antifa. And that's her, you know, down a Antifa, who she claims was breaking a window at the Capitol building. Video shows her jumping on a man after others started to assault him. Janice went inside the Capitol and later posted to Facebook that she was maced, beat with a metal baton, and detained by Capitol Police. Well, what do you know? It happens when you start trying to overthrow the democracy. The four talked about their experience in D.C. during two live streams posted on Molly Wetzel's Facebook on January 8th. They all repeated the debunking theory that the violence had happened at the Capitol was orchestrated by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. White and Wenzel said they went to the Capitol building while Lahr and McFarquhar did not enter the building. Once again, you guys, it's going to be interesting how you guys are going to, you know, call yourselves liberal tyrants when your own videos and social media posts are used against you. Douglas Eichmann, by the way, I'm just going to let you know. Never mind. Douglas Eichmann, another avid Trump supporter from Minnesota, took the trip to D.C. He's another frequent attendee of Hold the Line and Stop the Steal events. Eichmann's Facebook post on January 9th shared pictures from the storming of the Capitol on January 6th. He wrote, "I've never been in a fight at 60. Why would I start now? I thought I was going to get my ass kicked. I came out with no injuries." In two pictures he's posted with Chad Raftall, Eichmann says he never got in. I'll tell you what, let's take a break here, all right? I'll come on back. I got more of this Unicorn Riot story because, once again, there definitely were people from Minnesota that were there. Some people went in, some people didn't, but, you know, is there such thing as secessionist light? I don't know. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Matt McNeil Show. Once again, reading from the Unicorn Riot story about the Minnesotans who were in Washington, D.C. Some people went into the Capitol building, some people did not. And what you're finding is that most of these people that, you know, you can figure out who was there by their own social media posts. They're bragging about it. But, I don't know. I mean, will Trump pardon these people? I mean, I got to even believe that if Trump pardons people who killed a cop, I'll just put it this way. I think that if that was the case, Mitch McConnell would bring those impeachment charges into the Senate and they'd have a vote on that immediately and Trump would be going by. And I honestly think that. So I don't think he's going to pardon him. Boy, this guy has let me down numerous times. Trust me, the 5 o'clock hour is full of that. Trump supporter Jonathan Land, his brother Doyle Land Jr., made the trip to D.C. for the Storm the Capitol event on January 6th. From Forest Lake, Jonathan is president of a business called The Glass Guru, and Blaine Land has been a frequent Stop the Steal and Hold the Line actions and brings audio equipment to the rallies. Land Jr. from Chisago City is the owner of Northland Home Exteriors. It's unclear if either of the Land brothers went into the Capitol building itself, but they were there. Alistair Vusen is another Minnesotan who made the trip to D.C. He posted a live stream to Facebook while participating in the events. It's unclear if he went into the Capitol. From Minneapolis, David Hammond made the trip to D.C. on January 6th. Hammond posted to Facebook on the 8th that he was in Washington, D.C. for the Trump rally and that he'd like to thank and salute all the people who are taking action to protect our freedoms from that our forefathers fought for our Constitution. Hammond updated his Facebook page collage to show images from D.C., including two selfies. It's unclear if Hammond, H-A-M-M-A-N, went into the Capitol building. Joe Bell is another Minnesotan who went to D.C. For January 6th. He's from St. Paul and also been attending the weekly Hold the Line events. A post on Bell's MeWe account claims that he was once a corrections officer. It's unclear if Bell went inside the Capitol building. Stop the Steal protests continue in St. Paul after the storming of the Capitol during last Saturday's storm of the Capitol protest at the Minnesota Capitol building. Numerous others raised their hand to show they went to D.C., and Paul Burgley, a chiropractor from Mysanti, Minnesota, spoke about his trip. Right-wing podcaster Stu Peters is said to have mentioned being in D.C. on his podcast, and further evidence of more Minnesotans who participated continues to be posted online. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, are now investigating the involvement of six GOP House members that attended last Saturday's Storm the Capitol protest. Outside of the Capitol, including in St. Paul, which featured some violent rhetoric, the state that was on the 6th, I believe it was. The increasing extreme actions of Trump supporters coupled by their cozy connections to military and law enforcement puts the spotlight on many police officers from across the country who are being outed, even reprimanded for participating in the D.C. event. You cannot say you are a Blue Lives Matter person if you in any way, shape, or form endorse what happened out there. This was a terrorist strike on our country. And granted, I want to make sure I'm clear. I have zero doubt some of the people that went to that rally. I mean, I actually read some conservatives were writing. It's like when it became clear what was going on, they said, we're done. We're going back to the hotel. There were some people there that are Trump fans that went out there. But there were clearly a lot of people that were trying to get into that building to try to take over the government. If they got into that building, if they trespassed in any capacity, if any of these people that were mentioned in the Unicorn Riot story, if any of them did cross that threshold, they're going to be in trouble. That is not a debate. That's not a question. They're going to be in trouble. How much trouble depends on what they did. But as we're going to start off the second hour with here, the reality is what we found out today was not only were there far more nefarious intentions by this crowd that went and attacked the Capitol building, but we're dang lucky that Vice President Pence wasn't killed at the rally. And we are finding out now how close it came to Vice President Pence being taken by these people, which is terrifying. I'll start with the next hour with that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We, like I said, we are going to be back here for hour number two in just a moment right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Patrick, you might be wondering, why is Mike Lindell in the studio with me today? It's not Mike Lindell. It's a cardboard cutout. There you go.
But I am curious why the cardboard cutout is in the studio with
me. He's all over me. He's falling all over me. What's wrong with you, Mike? Well, I'm going to read this cold here, so... Controversial MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell was spotted entering the West Wing of the White House on Friday. Lindell, who has pushed the conspiracy theory about election fraud that incited the deadly insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, visited the White House hours after posting, "Keep the faith, everyone. We will have our President Donald Trump for more years." Okay. C-SPAN multiple members of the White House press corps noticed Lindell entering the White House, and they took a photo. But it was Washington Post photographer Javin Botsford who managed to capture part of the notes Lindell brought with him. While the entire width of the page is not visible, it's possible to read, "Martial law, if necessary, upon the first hint of any." Lindell also appears to suggest moving former Devin Nunes aide Kash Patel to an acting role as Central Intelligence Agency. China and Iran are also messaged. New York Times reporter Kenneth Vogel wondered what part of the document had been crossed out. Longtime conservative activist Bill Kristol was alarmed at what he saw as well. Oh, Mike, what are you up to, big fella? What? You want to kiss me again? Oh, Mike. Oh, oh, God, no. Oh, not that. If you're not watching the live stream version of this show, you can. It's we do a video version of it. It's radio for your eyes. Go to Facebook and look at AM 950, as well as also Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show. Come here, big fella. Go get that pillow. Let me be your pillow. Hold me like your pillow. All right, let me just put Mike down over that way. There you go. See, that's a light and airy thing. The My Pillow guy calling for martial law. You see, that's light and airy, Patrick. See, we can do the light topics and in other news stuff. What else is there? Well, Mike Lindell is here saying something about martial law. I don't know. Do you remember at the holidays, we had people, if they wanted to, they could go to AM 950 Radio, help sponsor the station. We would have read a nice note for them, right? We got one late. And I wanted to make sure we mentioned this. This is from Jim and Ellen, who are sponsoring the station. By the way, thank you very much to everyone who's become a sponsor. You're helping keep Progressive Radio on the air in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and we're very grateful for that. Jim and Ellen want to mention becoming a union carpenter or other building trades member, walk into a living wage job, and even earn while you learn, have great benefits, packages, and health care, pensions, and opportunities for advancement. Indeed, the trades are a great opportunity for you if you're looking for something to do in this world. The trades, you'll make some money too. You'll make some real good money. Thank you very much, guys. I do appreciate it. Now, I should mention as well, if you would like, you can make a donation to help out the station. Either a $50 one-time donation or a $25 recurring donation, and we will send you the very pretty AM 950 calendar. Very pretty. Featuring photos I took on the various walks I had over the entire year here. We took a lot of walks, was out there seeing the beautiful parks of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I took a lot of pictures, and I ended up getting some good ones. So if you'd like, you can go out. Become a member, make a one-time donation of $50 or a recurring donation of $25. You get the calendar, and you also help keep AM 950 on the air. We're very appreciative of that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So yesterday when I talked about the comments made by the Republican congresspeople of Minnesota on why they did not vote to impeach Donald Trump, I pointed out to them that Vice President Mike Pence is not my vice president. I didn't vote for him. But I sure as heck don't want the guy dead. And you guys want to just downplay this. And I said this about all four of the Republican Congress people, Pete Stauber, Jim Hagedorn, Tom Emmer, and Michelle Fischbach. I said, if that crowd would have caught any one of you, they would have killed you. And that crowd was that they were the weapon that was turned at the Capitol by the president. How you can just not hold him accountable, I'll never know. But we're now finding out how close the mob came to actually getting the vice president. And we should never forget either that when Mike Pence told Trump, I think it was either late on the 5th or early on the 6th, that constitutionally he could not object to the Electoral College, throw them out, and install Trump as president, that he could not do that, Trump himself turned on Pence on Twitter, and he clearly turned on Pence at the rally. We got to remember that. The violent mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th came perilously close to Vice President Pence, who was not evacuated from the Senate chamber for about 14 minutes after the Capitol Police reported an initial attempted breach of the complex, enough time for the terrorists to rush inside the building and approach his location, according to law enforcement officials and video footage from that day. Secret Service officers eventually spirited Pence to a room off the Senate floor with his wife and daughter. Dear Lord, this could have ended up so much worse. I mean, it's horrific what happened on the 6th. But can you imagine what would have happened if this crowd had gotten Mike Pence's wife and daughter? Holy God. They spirited Pence to a room off the Senate floor with his wife and daughter after rioters began to pour into the Capitol, many loudly denouncing the vice president as a traitor as they marched to the first floor below the Senate chamber. About 1 minute after Pence was hustled out of the chamber, a group charged up the stairs to a second floor landing in the Senate, chasing a Capitol police officer who drew them away from the Senate. That guy, by the way, is, I mean, can we get him a medal? Now, maybe not Trump. Maybe we'll get it when Biden gets into office. That guy deserves a medal. Because, and now you understand, he was drawing him away because they hadn't gotten Pence out of there. I want to repeat. A minute after Pence, 1 minute after Pence was moved off the floor, that one police officer was smart enough to draw the crowd away from where he was. Nicely done. Pence and his family had just ducked into a hideaway less than 100 feet from that landing, according to three people familiar with its whereabouts, who spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity of the situation. If the pro-Trump mob had arrived seconds earlier, the attackers would have been in eyesight of the vice president as he was rushed across a reception hall into the office. The proximity of the January 6th mob to the vice president and the delay in evacuating him from the chamber, which have not been previously reported, raise questions about why the Secret Service did not move him earlier and underscore the jeopardy that top government leaders faced during the siege. In an increasingly hostile and violent crowd mentioned surrounded the Capitol, Pence remained center stage, presiding over a joint session of Congress for more than an hour after the Capitol police chief said he alerted his superiors that the force was being overrun and needed emergency reinforcements. The potential exposure of the vice president underscores how law enforcement agencies struggle to manage the rapidly expanding crisis in real time. The Secret Service declined to comment on any element of Pence's movements. And by the way, I'll make sure the Secret Service, at the end of the day, there might have been, you know, some questions on his timeline, but they kept him safe. And that's a good thing. We need to make sure we commend the Secret Service here. And once again, this is not my vice president. I'm happy that Mike Pence wasn't killed. But apparently, this is no big deal to Tom Emmer or Jim Hagedorn or Pete Stauber or Michelle Fischbach. And as a matter of fact, Patrick, I have someone who sent me a picture out in western Minnesota. People that have Trump Pence signs in their yard still, right? They've marked out Pence on the signs. Dear Lord, what have you guys wrought? What have you people wrought? Oy. While the Secret Service does not speak specifically about the means or methods of our protective operations, Vice President Pence was secure at all times on January 6th, Secret Service spokeswoman Catherine Milhoen said in a statement. A spokesman for Pence declined to comment. Pence was ultimately evacuated from his office off the Senate floor to a more secure location elsewhere in the Capitol complex. It is unclear exactly how long that took, but as the vice president made his way through the building, a growing number of rioters were joining their cohorts and coursing through the Capitol's labyrinth of halls. Once inside, they used pipes, flagpoles, and other weapons to shatter windows, break furniture. One police officer later died of injuries sustained during the onslaught. Dozens of officers were wounded, including some who were struck with a fire extinguisher and another who was dragged down a set of steps and attacked by the crowd. Many of those mob had their sights on Pence, enraged that he'd refused President Trump's demand that the head of the Electoral College count that formalized President-elect Joe Biden's victory. According to the FBI, one man who was charged this week was trespassing and disorderly conduct after making his way into the Senate chamber said on a YouTube video, "Once we found out Pence turned on us and that he'd stolen the election, like officially, the crowd went crazy. I mean, it became a mob." At one point, a group of rioters began chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," as they streamed into the main door of the east side of the Capitol. One man who made his way to the Senate chamber reached Pence's chair on the Senate dais, shirtless, wearing face paint and a furry coyote tail hat, carrying a 6-foot-long spear. Jacob Chansley of Arizona left a note on the vice president's desk that read in part, "It's only a matter of time. Justice is coming," according to court filings. Sweet Jesus. And once again, wow. And like I said, and 197 Republican congressmen pardoned, you know, said Trump didn't deserve to get impeached over this. Holy God. Federal prosecutors offered an ominous new assessment of last week's siege on the Capitol by President Trump supporters on Thursday, saying in a court filing that rioters intended to capture and assassinate elected officials. Hey, you know, if they would have captured me and killed me, I'd been okay with that. You know, Trump, you know, he doesn't think inside the box. He's an outside the box kind of guy. Wow. Prosecutors offered that view in a filing asking a judge to detain Jacob Chansley, the Arizona man and QAnon conspiracy theorist who was famously photographed wearing horns as he stood at the desk of Vice President Mike Pence. The detention memo written by the Justice Department lawyers in Arizona goes into greater detail about the FBI's investigation into Chansley, revealing that he left a note for Pence. Strong evidence, including Chansley's own words and actions at the Capitol, supports that the intent of the Capitol rioters was to capture and assassinate elected officials in the United States government. A public defender representing Chansley could not immediately be reached for comment. Chansley is due to appear in federal court on Friday. The prosecutor's assessment comes as prosecutors and federal agents have begun bringing more serious charges tied to violence at the Capitol, including revealing cases Thursday against one man, retired firefighter Robert Sanford, on charges that he hurled a fire extinguisher at the head of one police officer, and another, Peter Stanger, of beating a different officer with a pole bearing the American flag. In Chansley's case, prosecutors said the charges involved active participation in an insurrection attempting to violently overthrow the United States government and warned that the insurrection is still in progress as law enforcement prepares for more demonstrations in Washington and other state capitals. They also suggested he suffers from drug abuse and mental illness, and they told the judge he possesses a serious flight risk. They wanted to kill you people. Tom? Michelle? Petey? Bag of soup? They wanted to kill you. The mob that was incited by Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump, they wanted to kill you. And you said, nope, no need to hold that guy accountable. That's just Democrats being namby-pamby. One of the problems we have is that in this country is clearly a Republican Party is betrothed to a very small percentage of the country's population. But it's the percentage of the population that controls which Republicans run for office, which brings forth a history lesson. Back when the Whig Party decided that they were going to be a pro-slavery party, a lot of their members who did not want to be pro-slavery left and formed the Republican Party at that point. Eventually, they got Lincoln in office and ended up, you know, kind of establishing itself pretty solidly there. If you're a Republican today, you tell me how you're going to wrestle your party away from this extremism. Once again, Dick Cheney did this in 2004 when it looked like it was George W. was going to lose re-election. He welcomed in all the far-right fringe people into the party and said, help us out. We'll give you a seat at the table. And that was the big mistake, because from that point forward, that party has been getting progressively crazier and crazier. And now you have people – I mean, these are the people that used to be on compounds out in freaking Montana, okay? That's who now decides who's Republican candidates. And that's who these people are. It's time for you, if you're a Republican and you're looking around, if you were one of those people that went to Washington, D.C. and say, hey, I love Trump, but this is not what I signed up for. I think it's time for you guys to start your own political party, a brand new one. The centrist party, the moderate right party, I don't know what you call it. But if I can give you not only the history lesson, but one little bit of advice as well. If you're going to do this, be committed to it. Yeah, you're probably not going to win a lot of elections right out the gate. But you'll probably get traction, and it will get better. Don't do what the Independence Party used to do, which was the reason why the Independence Party in Minnesota doesn't even exist anymore, is that when they had candidates that the party did not like, well, the party just went back to the parties that they originally came from and ignored the own Independence Party and killed their own party. Yes, it sucked because the first presidential candidate for the Republicans was not Lincoln. It was the guy that ran. It's the guy from California. Guy from California, and that was – I can't remember his name, but he was an interesting cat. He lost to Buchanan in 56, 1856, but he was the first one, and they lost. Old Pathfinder? I think it was his name, Old Pathfinder. It just takes you a while to get traction. But I'm going to tell you right, if you miss the days of the old Republican Party where you could be a fiscal conservative and a social liberal, if you miss the days when you didn't have to go down this lunatic fringe and have to engage and embrace conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory, if you're at a point where you are looking at Republicans and realizing, I don't have much in relation with these people outside of the R, well, maybe it's time for you to start a new party. And maybe by the time you get to 2030, you'll be an established party. I guarantee you this, you'll probably pull a lot of the Republicans with you. Maybe even a few moderate Democrats. Guys like Tom Bach and stuff like that. But the reality is, I can't see how your political party survives. Because right now, the crazy train's driving that entire party. And I don't see courage or spines or integrity anywhere in the Republican Party. I just see a lot of people saying, he was trying to kill us? Well, I don't think we should hold him guilty. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
We're breaking out this time, making out.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. They are making preparations in Minnesota at the state capitol ahead of the January 20th presidential inauguration. They're also bracing for possible violent protests in St. Paul, as well as other places around the country. Thursday's statement by Minnesota Department of Public Safety shortly followed reports that the entire National Mall would be closed for Inauguration Day in Washington, D.C. The state officials have not announced similar measures in Minnesota State Capitol Complex, saying it remains a safe place. But Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington on Thursday said, out of an abundance of caution, asked those who don't have a planned activity or business on site to consider visiting another time. They're actually saying, if you don't have to be by the state capitol, don't be by the state capitol. I think they're anticipating trouble. We will continue to track and monitor reports of any individuals or groups that are not interested in a peaceful expression of their First Amendment rights so we can respond accordingly, Harrington said. We've been working with our law enforcement partners to develop a coordinated and comprehensive plan to guard the Capitol and protect state employees, visitors, and peaceful protesters from harm. State and federal law enforcement are monitoring reports of possible violent protests Sunday at state capitals around the country. An FBI bulletin dated last month that surfaced this week warned of possibility of armed Boogaloo Boys extremists preparing for violence and demonstrations in Minnesota, Michigan, specifically on Sunday. The only permitted events so far this weekend are a pair of gatherings planned by the same organizer behind the Storm the Capitol rally, Becky Strohmeyer, who I mentioned earlier, a conservative activist from Bloomington who leads the Hold the Line Minnesota group, has been approved for a Freedom Fest event on Saturday, which she said 150 are expected to attend. The next day, Strohmeyer plans to lead a Sunday church service that she describes as an invite only and involved around 20 people. Earlier this week, Strohmeyer repeatedly urged supporters not to assemble at the Capitol on Sunday, warning that the flyers advertising national rallies were actually an infiltration and setup tactic used to invite Senate violence and blame us. No, no, you guys did that on your own on the 6th. That's the people on the right, not necessarily you per se specifically, but the right did the storming of the Capitol. Stolmar told the Star Tribune that she reserved a permit for Sunday's event in an effort to curb any sort of violent activity. She said that anyone trying to disturb Sunday's event will be dealt with according to State Patrol policy. Many attendees of Strohmeyer's January 6th rally came armed, which is legally permitted on Capitol grounds. About 20 rally goers identified with state chapter of the 3%'s original group. A smaller group appeared to wear garb popular with Boogaloo Boys. The FBI warned of potential activity alert dated December 29th that had credible evidence of armed extremists were targeting January 17th protests at the Minnesota-Michigan state capitals. I know this Minnesota Historical Society, their museum, even though it can be open to a limited capacity, they're not going to be open this weekend. Because they're kind of right by the state capitol grounds, they are not going to be open this weekend. I don't know what to think. Part of me wants to think that now that all these reports are out here and all the fact that we are arresting people nationwide, that people that for some reason thought that they were going to live stream and photograph themselves breaking the law and then post it with glee are shocked that they're getting arrested for doing that. I don't quite know. But part of me wants to believe that I think that this is – you know, a lot of people, they might have been thinking about this, but now I don't think I'm going to be there. On the other side, did I ever think the President of the United States, in an effort to hold on to power, would rile up a crowd of angry far-right extremists and aim them at the Capitol as they went towards the Capitol to try to kill the Vice President of the United States, kill the Speaker of the House, kill as many other people as possible. Did I ever imagine that? No. Not in a million freaking years. Not in a million years. So, if anything, though, I do believe Joe Biden will be the President of the United States come next Wednesday. And Donald Trump, as bad as he's been, and he has been an atrocious president, I mean, pick the failure. But from here on out, what he'll be most known for is the failure president who tried to destroy democracy in an effort to stay in power. And he will forever be listed as the worst president this country ever had. Forever be listed at that point. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Unless the My Pillow guy comes up with his martial law rules. Good luck with that. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. It is sad. It is sad to see the images of them blockading off the Capitol at this point. All our best, remember when here at AM 950, all our best to the National Guard troops as well as the officers who are out there keeping the state capitol safe this weekend. And it should be once again mentioned, and in case you missed this little point, there's a lot of people that are screaming every time they talk about the capitol, they're screaming about Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and they're doing so because of two reasons. One, they want to downplay the fact that the Capitol was attacked by far-right extremists that were driven by Trump. These were Trump fans that became terrorists that attacked the Capitol. The other reason is they want people to, every time they think about the Capitol attack, they want them to think of Black Lives Matter and Antifa so they can vilify those people. Once again, the attack on the Capitol happened because of Trump's terrorist group, the Traitors to America. Now, that also being said, I will if I can make a point here, anyone that sits out there and says, well,
you guys weren't so upset when things were going bad during the George Floyd protests.
First of all, no, everyone was upset about what was happening out there. And numerous people were saying protesting is good, rioting is bad. So you are making up a lie that no one from the left condemned the violence, which is absolutely ludicrous. On top of that, you're also forgetting the smidge of a little fact that almost everyone who has been arrested for causing chaos in the George Floyd uprising was a far-right extremist. Almost everyone. Was that a test run? That's the question. 952-946-6205. Minnesota coronavirus update for today. Minnesota health officials have reported 1,640 new COVID cases, another 33 additional deaths. On the vaccine front, an additional 8,708 state residents have received at least the first dose, bringing that total to 162,040. I'll be back to that in a second here. Minnesota has been receiving shipments of the required second dose that's needed to provide immunity protection. So far, 24,745 people have gotten that second shot. So far, the pandemic has sickened 443,562 Minnesotans and has led to 5,850 deaths. Of the newly reported cases, 18 were residents of long-term care facilities. Most people who became ill in the coronavirus experienced mild or no symptoms. But the total number of people needing hospitalization from COVID-19 complications continues to decline, which is good. Total number of 612 patients were getting care, down from 724 a week earlier. Intensive care beds were filled with 125 patients. That's down from 132 from the week prior. That's good news. Statewide, 88% of the intensive care beds were occupied with COVID-19 and non-COVID-19 patients. Still, that means there's a lot of beds available. That is a good sign. Now, there's a problem here, too, that we have to dip into, because the magnitude of this failure, I mean, it's only 5 days left of this Trump administration, but there was breaking news this afternoon of a failure that might break the top 10 as far as worst things this president has done. Reading from the story, a furious Governor Tim Walz slammed the federal government after a report by the Washington Post claimed their so-called reserve of COVID-19 vaccines being held back for second doses doesn't actually exist. What? The Washington Post reported, released on Friday, says that despite Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar announcing early this week that the government would begin releasing vaccines it had held back for second doses, those doses had actually been sent out starting in early December and none remained in reserve. Once again, it's not as if they said, we'll hope we have some in reserve. We'll let you know. The Health and Human Services Secretary, the Health and Human Services Department, and the Trump administration had told all these states, we have a reserve of vaccine we are going to send you. And now, not because they admitted it, but because the Washington Post uncovered the truth, now it's, oh yeah, I guess we don't have them anymore. Wow. While this report has yet to be officially confirmed by the government, it has sparked anger from Governor Walz at a Friday press conference describing it as egregious, a catastrophe, and said it's unimaginable the states had been lied to. Where'd they go? Who's going to be prosecuted for this? He said in a tweet. Walz added, this is appalling. Minnesotans are sick of false promises from the Trump administration. After promising a surge of doses, the administration is now pulling out the rug from under our seniors, teachers, and every Minnesotan eagerly awaiting the vaccine. It should be noted, was it yesterday, the Minnesota Department of Health had just loosened their regulations on who could get a vaccine because they were anticipating more vaccine coming from the federal government. Walls had been among the governors encouraging the Trump administration to release its vaccine reserves so as many people can receive their first dose of the vaccine as possible, with the incoming Biden administration indicating it would do this once the new president is inaugurated on January 20th. So what were they going to do? Were they just not going to deliver them? And then when Biden got in there and opened up the warehouse door and saw, hey, wait, there's no vaccine in here, they're going to say, well, it was there when we left. It's on you. Is that what they were going to do? The Washington Post reports states and health systems have been expecting their incoming vaccines to double next week, are confronting the reality that the allocations will remain largely flat. What's more, with the supply of vaccines still limited, Walls now worries that some of those who have already had their first dose will not get their second dose on time, saying he's not sleeping out of concern this will happen. Minnesotans have been promised more than 624,000 vaccines by the CDC, of which just over 404,000 have been received by providers in the state. A third of the vaccines we were supposed to get, we have not gotten. Now, I'm sure that Paul Gazelka and Kurt Dowd and Jennifer Carnahan, who had been criticizing Governor Walls for the vaccine rollout, I'm sure today they are livid with the Trump administration for lying to the state about the amount of vaccines there was going to be. Oh, I'm sure. They are – oh, no, have they released anything? I haven't seen anything from any of them yet. Maybe they have, but you shouldn't be going after Walls. The question I have is this. Did we ever have the vaccines in the first place, or was that just a lie that they came up with that eventually was, you know, like the guy who's talking about his Canadian girlfriend? Oh, she's from Toronto, you know. She's an attractive lady from Toronto. She's a supermodel. She's on TikTok, and she's like super hot. But you can't go see her TikTok page. Her TikTok page is a private one, so you can't see it. So don't even try to search for it or anything, okay? Okay. But she's in Canada. And tell me if you think I might be onto something, or am I on something? I think there's even a likelier chance. I think there's a likelier chance someone came to the Trump administration with a checkbook and said, how much money do you need for all those vaccines? Whether that was another country, whether that was a wealthy community, whether it could have been a sports league. What do you think the likelihood is that Trump just sold the reserves to the highest bidder and pocketed the money? That is, I mean, the last few days I've talked about how there has been one other time where former cabinet members were impeached after they were out of office, and that had to do with the Harding administration. It's the same exact thing. He was selling off U.S. medical supplies, leftover medical supplies from World War I, and just pocketing the money. Other people were going on out because they were building all these veterans' homes at the time and would go on out, would buy the land they knew the federal government wanted to buy for the hospital, buy it, jack up the price, and then pocket all the money. That was his own, that was the Harding administration doing that. You guys keep saying to yourself, he's been great. What's he done? What's he done? He made America great again. But what did he do? He gave a tax break. No, he didn't. Not to us. He gave a huge tax break to the wealthy. He stopped immigrants from coming over the border. No, he didn't. They're still coming over the border. Not only are they still coming over the border, he's basically created for show concentration camps where horrors upon horrors have been described. Everything from teenage kids being raped by the prison guards to, in Georgia, reports of forced hysterectomies on immigrant women. COVID out of control. I got to tell you the truth. There was one of the stories I saw, and I haven't brought up his ICE. His director of ICE was only in there for a few days and literally quit and said, I'm out of here. I'm taking off. Bye. Thanks. Bye. It's my belief that he got in there, saw what ICE was doing, the immigration guys that are Trump's thugs. I think he saw what they were doing and ran for the hills. I think he wanted nothing to do with it. He did not want the music to stop at the end of this Trump administration and him to be holding the bag. And so he ran, and he wants nothing to do with it. Trade markets? Please. He's wiped out our trade markets for decades. For decades. Brazil, Argentina, Australia, New Zealand, they're taking our ag trade markets. And it might not be that bad now, but especially as Brazil gets ramped up here, because they've been tearing down their rainforest faster than anything at this point, so that they can plant more crops. As soon as they get those crops going, as soon as they get those farms going and they're producing, goodbye American imports. What has he done? He's done nothing. But here you are. And here in the state of Minnesota, there are people who have gotten the first dose of vaccine who will not get the second dose of vaccine in time. There are and there are people who are needy, who need this vaccine. Not me. Not you, Patrick. I'm presuming you don't need the vaccine right away.
I don't.
Okay. I'm presuming Paul Gazelka and the Republican leadership don't need it. I mean, they've been mocking coronavirus ever since the beginning, so I'm presuming they don't need it. But there are a lot of people, medical professionals, first responders, seniors with health conditions, who need these vaccines. And once again, the Trump administration did not come clean on this. They were ratted out by the Washington Post, who said there is no there. There is no backup vaccine. So I'll leave it to you, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Do you think we even had the vaccines? Or do you think Trump sold them? Someone sold them and then pocketed the money. Let's face it, Trump is desperately in financial troubles now. I think he was looking for any money he could jam into his pockets. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I'll try to find a positive story. I will try. Army Hammer's a cannibal? No, can't do that one. I will try to find a story that's positive to end the show. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. I'm trying to find something. I'm literally trying to find something that's not Johnny Gloom's Rain Parade. Oh, for God's sakes. Oh, beans and rice, the most underrated nutritional powerhouse. No. I'm not going to read a story about fiber intake. That's where we are. Yeah, you know what? I'm feeling good. My fiber intake there. Let's see the personal things. Oh, here we go. Here's a lighthearted fare. I love being a classroom teacher. COVID-19 stole that from me. Oh, okay. It's a feel-good story. Oh. My husband cheated on me, and I stayed. Here's why. No, I'm not. No. Oh. Well, it's a watching thing here, but sea lions surfing off Santa Barbara Island for the sheer joy of it. There we go. You know, maybe I can. I'll tell you what. We can always turn our attention to sports, and we can always feel pretty good about. Sports guy, the T-Wolves playing tonight, right?
No. Actually, that got postponed for tomorrow night because of COVID.
What? Well, okay. Hopefully it's not like our star player, Carl Anthony Towns.
I didn't look that far. It might have been on Memphis.
It's Carl. No, it's Carl Anthony Towns. Oh, for God's sakes. Oh, God.
Did you watch the Wild game last night?
Oh, God, that Russian kid. Oh, that Russian, that goal. You see Quick, if you didn't see it because, they aired the thing at like 2 in the morning, It was overtime game. Wild win. Beat the LA Kings 4-3, I believe, was the final. This new Russian whiz kid we've got, he banked the puck off his skate and got it into the goal in overtime to beat Quick. And Quick was looking and was like, what did you just do?
I was surprised they didn't review that, because if you're not familiar with hockey, you cannot kick the puck into the goal. That is not allowed.
But I think he bounced it enough off the side of his skate that it was okay.
Yep.
I think he bounced it enough off the side of his skate. Here's the trouble about that, Patrick. The trouble about that is that the Wild will trade him for a bag of sand in like 3 weeks, won't they? I mean, that's just on brand for the Wild at this point. Oh, he's good and popular and the people like him? Well, let's send him to Tampa. And guess what? We got some Slim Jims from Tampa. This is great. Who wants to snap into a Slim Jim? It was enjoyable watching that game. But, you know, and you got, you know. All I can say is this, is there is an apprehension, a palatable apprehension in this country right now after what happened on the 6th. We've got threats of violence in every state. We have the state capitol being locked down like it's, you know, a city in a war zone. We have the realization that the vice president of the United States was 60 seconds from being killed, likely killed, by the rioters. I mean, it's dark. And on top of it, you know, you got Mike Lindell from MyPillow Guy bringing in martial law documents to Trump. Trump stealing the artwork from inside the White House and taking it with him. And then this question of pardons and who's going to pardon. He's going to try to pardon himself. I don't think legally, most constitutional scholars don't think that he legally can pardon himself. But, you know, with that Supreme Court, they might allow him to do it. Which I guarantee you they'll allow him to do it. Then immediately every Republican will be like, but no other president can do it because we don't want a Democrat doing that. So, you know, it's easy to get downtrodden, and you know we are in winter. These are dark days, but already you can feel the Biden administration coming in. You can feel the competence. I mean, that line when he was talking about the people not wearing a mask, and you could tell it's just, oh, for God's sakes, will you guys please just grow up? Isn't that how he said it was? Why don't you guys just please grow up? You know, all of a sudden, there was an adult in the White House again. Here's one thing I think you can take away. Social media has been far more enjoyable in the last week than it has been in years. It has. It's been far more enjoyable. There's a lot less crazy out there. I can't I don't know where all this is going to go. All I know is that my guess is going to be someplace in this country, God forbid St. Paul, God forbid Minnesota. But someplace in this country there's going to be violence this weekend, and there's going to be violence next week. And I guarantee you some people will try to stop the inauguration of Joe Biden. At the end of it all, we just got to get through these days. It's always darkest before the dawn. I mean, that's the phrase, right? It's always darkest before the dawn. Hunker down. Find what you enjoy. Find what you enjoy. Enjoy that this weekend. Be safe. Take care of yourselves. All right? I might suggest going over. I'll tell you what. Maybe I'll put a few of the pictures that I used in the calendar up on the social media pages. Because, Patrick, you would agree, some of these pictures are really nice, right? I'm going to put some of these pictures that I used in the calendar up on the social media pages. You can see them. If you'd like to get the calendar, help donate to the station, go over to am950radio.com. Be safe out there, all right? Be safe, everyone. Be back here on Monday. We will do another show then, all right? Native Roots Radio, they're coming up next. You have a wonderful weekend, and peace. All right? Till Monday. See you.